Remember what to do, friends. Now tell me right out loud. What are you supposed to do when you see the flash?
Duck and cover.
It's time to open the thrift shop with DJ Frederick.
Thank you. around you, and you will see who you are. On a clear day, how it will astound you that the glow of your being outshines every star. You'll feel part of every mountain, sea and shore, and you can hear from far and near a world you've never heard before. But on that clear day, on that clear day, you can see forever and ever, ever.
How much my love is, that's how high above is, that's how deep my love is. A 9 miles high and 3 miles deep, that's just how I'm feeling. Can't control this feeling, I'm the banker, now I'm dealing. I'm looking down from a high above, looking up cause I'm deep in love. Don't ask me how, where or why, I can't explain and I won't try. 9 miles high and 3 miles deep, that's how much my love is, that's how high above is, that's how deep my love is. Looking down from a high above, looking up but I'm deep in love. Don't ask me how, where or why, try. And 9 miles high and 3 miles deep, that's how I'm feeling. Can't control this feeling, I'm the banker, now I'm dealing. I'm the banker, now I'm dealing. I'm the banker, now I'm dealing.
All right, welcome to the Thrift Shop. This is DJ Frederick, and we just heard a couple of tunes by the Peddlers. That was 9 miles high. And before that, yes, it was indeed a clear day. On a clear day, you can see forever. And we started the program off with a band called Deep Feeling and their version of Mason Williams' Classical Gas. Classical Gas. This is the Radio Thrift Shop, where we celebrate the mystery of discovering music in dusty record crates, on old 78s, on homemade CDs, on obscure records and tapes. Music recorded from the early 1900s to music that's being released next week. It's open house at the Radio Thrift Shop. And I want to thank Iris Arneson, who publishes a wonderful independent magazine called The Opera Glass. She sent me a box set of records of the opera The Student Prince, with music by Sigmund Romberg and lyrics by Dorothy Donnelly. Now, this was released in the 1950s on Decca Records. It was actually released in 1949. And this is going to be a first for opera here on the Radio Thrift Shop. Jane Wilson, Lee Swetland, Gloria Lane, orchestra and chorus under the direction of Victor Young. We're going to hear a song called Deep in My Heart from the box set Lauritz Melchior in The Student Prince.
Of love I've often heard, and all its joy, how every heart is stirred, both girl and boy. But
springtime is round us tonight, enchantment is born on the breeze.
And clothed in the silver of tender moonlight, the birds murmur soft in the tree.
As deep in the shadow your eyes look in mine, within them a soft blend and a glow. The breath divine is filled with the scent of the rose. Oh, love, while I live, I will always enshrine
your love in the heart of a rose. Deep in my heart, dear, I have a
Oh!
right. Quite a few weeks ago on the program, I asked people to identify the mystery artist, and the mystery artist was indeed Stevie Wonder. We just heard a couple of cuts from his album, Evett's Red Now, which of course is Stevie Wonder spelled backwards. This is one of his rarest albums, not released on CD and not even released on Motown Records. Not even a picture of Stevie anywhere on the album or any attribution to him. Just The Sound of Young America, released back in 1968. And you could definitely hear the dust in that one. Again, that's Evett's Red Now. We heard A House Is Not a Home and How Can You Believe? Before that, The Advancement from 1969 with a tune called Stone Folk. And we started the set off with Deep in My Heart, Dear, from the Student Prince, a 45 box set released on Decca Records back in 1949, courtesy of Iris Arneson from Tucson, Arizona, who writes and publishes The Opera Glass, absolutely fantastic zine, which is turning me on to opera. Beware, listeners. Okay, this is the Radio Thrift Shop. We're cruising up and down the dusty aisles of music. Let's move forward with a tune by Jeff Pekarek. from a privately pressed album in 1972. The Romero Brothers with a lute piece of the Renaissance and Danza Castellana. Great, great music, and both of the Romero Brothers are still recording to this day, releasing all kinds of classical jazz and Latin-tinged music on their own record labels independently. Completely independent music. Absolutely wonderful. Before that, we heard Pat Gotti with the 16th Century Orient. And we started the set off with Jeff Pekarek and Gate Gate. Both of those from privately released albums from the early 1970s. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop. And we're going to go dancing back in time now to the Yiddish Radio Project.
And now, to close out the first half of our journey back to the golden age of Yiddish radio, an extraordinary historical artifact. It is one of the earliest surviving broadcasts featuring the voice of a Holocaust survivor telling his own story, a decade before the term Holocaust was even part of our vocabulary. The English language show called Reunion was created to draw attention to the plight of Jewish refugees struggling for permission to move to this country by reuniting Holocaust survivors on the air. It premiered on WOR Radio in New York on July 6, 1947. What follows is an excerpt from that first program and the story of Reunion's first Holocaust survivor guest.
In just 7 seconds, you're going to hear America's newest radio show, Reunion! It's Reunion, a new program filled with human interest, comedy, and suspense. And now, here's the man who will tell you more about it, your host, Milo Bolton.
Thank you, friends, and welcome to Reunion.
Berlin, 1938. Man would open his door in answer to the bell. He'd peer out into the darkness, see a rifle pointed at him, and a bright flash of flame. A young man who lived through that reign of terror is our next guest on Reunion. His name is Siegbert Freiberg. He's 21 years old, and he lives here in New York. All right, Mr. Freiberg.
I was born and raised in Berlin. I was the only child of two wonderful parents. Our house was filled with music, and we were happy. Then in 1938, everything changed.
How was that?
One day, there was a knock on our apartment door, and my father went to answer it. The Gestapo grabbed him and took him away.
Where did they take him, Siegbert?
To Buchenwald concentration camp.
What did they do to your father at Buchenwald, Siegbert?
Well, from the first moment they took him, my mother started fighting to get him released. You see, Mr. Bolton, the Nazis hadn't yet started full warfare, so there were a few welfare agencies that could still help.
I see. Then she managed to get him released.
Yes, he was released in 1939, after spending a year in Buchenwald. In the meantime, my mother had arranged to get him a passport to Shanghai, and he left. Then, before he could send for us, the war broke, and my mother and I were put into munitions factories to turn out shells for the Nazis.
How long did you stay in this munitions factory?
Until one night, they stopped me from going home. I knew it was coming because of something that had happened the day before. They had taken my mother to a concentration camp from which she never returned. But this particular night, they loaded all of us who were Jewish into trucks and started away with us. I knew that if I didn't escape, then I'd be dead. So when the guard on my truck wasn't looking, I managed to jump off, and since it was nighttime, he didn't see me. Then I made my way to the suburbs of Berlin, where a Catholic family who had been friends of my father's and mother's gave me shelter.
How long did you stay there?
They kept me hidden in their house for 2.5 years, Mr. Bolton, through the rest of the war. And then Germany was defeated.
Then you came to America.
That's right.
In all this time, you haven't seen your father who's been over there in Shanghai?
No, sir.
Do you think that you'd know him after all these years? You know, you were just a young boy when you last saw him.
I'm sure I would, Mr. Bolton. His son always remembers his father.
Well, now, Siegbert, we want you to turn around to see if you know him. Ladies and gentlemen, that's really a touching scene. The father and son got each other in their arms. This elderly gentleman is really broken down with emotion, but he
He can't speak. And the son, of course, tears of joy are going down their cheeks. And believe me, gentlemen and ladies that are listening to me now, I have never seen such a touching scene in all my life. Ladies and gentlemen, they stand together there in each other's arms, and the emotion of the moment is really too much for them. And believe me, it's almost too much for me, too.
My name is Siegbert Freiberg, and I'm now 75 years old. I haven't heard this program since it was broadcast. What I said on that radio show is almost exactly what happened. I was arrested by the Nazis on February 27, 1943. I was taken to a collection point. There, fortunately, I fell down a stairway and broke a leg. What still surprises me, since all the Jews were the next day taken to a German railroad station and sent off to Auschwitz. I don't think if anybody ever came back. But with my broken leg, now I'm surprised that some SS-man just didn't take out a pistol and shot me. But I was lucky. This fellow called an ambulance, and I was brought to, it was still called the Jewish Hospital in Berlin. When I was in the hospital, amazingly enough, even at that time, a social worker came to my room and asked me if she could notify somebody where I am. I said, yes, my mother has a Gentile acquaintance. And I gave that woman the address in the Berlin suburb. A week or two later, that Gentile acquaintance of my mother's with this German friend of hers came to visit me. And this German friend of hers, I was 13 at the time, but I fell in love with that lady. She was so warm-hearted, so she felt all my troubles and had tears in her eyes. I think I fell in love with that woman at that particular point. I still lived in that place inside the hospital. I was afraid the Gestapo next door. I had terrible thoughts, and one day I decided to run away. When it was still dark, I took my little suitcase, sneaked out of the hospital, and went to the house of the beautiful girl who came to visit me. I came there with my little suitcase and said, "Will you help me? Because I'm in very dangerous conditions in the hospital. Can you take care of me?" And she lived with her parents, very nice Germans, and they took care of me. And I spent the entire time till the end of the war with them. I arrived in the United States on July 15, 1946. After 1 year, I was contacted by a Jewish agency who knew my father was still in Shanghai and asked if I would appear on a radio show. But I was never actually told that I will be reunited with my father. That was a complete surprise to me.
His name is Siegbert Freiberg. He's 21 years old.
It was actually a rather empty stage. There was a desk, Mr. Bolton was there at one microphone, I was in front of another microphone, and that was actually it.
Do you think that you'd know him after all these years?
His son always remembers his father.
Well, now, Siegbert,
and after he spoke these little words there for 10 minutes, "Would you recognize your father?" Then they pushed my father out from the side of the stage. He looked broken down, but I recognized him right away. He recognized me. We both couldn't understand each other. There were tears all over the place, you know. It was really the most moving moment of my life. The show was so popular that my father and I were invited to come back next week.
Now, Siegbert, will you tell our listeners what you and your father did since last Sunday's broadcast?
Well, for about 20 minutes afterwards, my father and I just kept our arms around one another and sobbed. It is the first time I ever cried from happiness. And I don't think I will ever have a happier moment in all my life.
Well, I can believe that, all right, Siegbert.
We've been talking steadily since last Sunday, and we haven't even scratched the surface. Of course, there were a few things I had to tell my father which I hated. I had to tell him about Mother's death in the concentration camp and how all our relatives had been killed, too.
Well, then that leaves only you and your father, doesn't
it? That's right, Mr. Bolton.
Have you been showing your father around New York?
I've had him every place, Mr. Bolton, up to the top of the Empire State Building, out to Coney Island, down in the subways, up Fifth Avenue to see the stores, and on Broadway at night to see all the lights. I just can't seem to show him enough. There's so much we both have to be grateful for that we can't begin to tell, you know. But my father, who has learned just a little English, expressed it when I showed him the Statue of Liberty. Father, tell them what you said. Sing good for America.
My father never spoke any English. He only knew four words. When somebody asked him anything in English and he didn't understand, he diplomatically said, thank God for America. And he meant it.
Well, thank you, Siegbert, and Mr. Freiberg. May you be happy and together always.
My father gave me a steamship ticket to Germany so that I could visit the German family, which helped me really survive Nazism. And so I went back to Berlin and started getting together with the German family. Now, I actually really had fallen in love with that young lady, the daughter of the family, and I made up my mind I have to marry that woman. She was a few years older than I was, but a wonderful person, and I figured I could not live without her. So I asked her whether she would, and she said yes, and now we are still madly in love with each other and have been married for 45 years.
Yeah.
And this is my beautiful wife.
Sigi, I love you.
I know that, my darling. Yeah. Prettiest 90-year-old I've ever seen. I mean this sincerely, my darling. I was lucky.
Yeah.
God was good to me.
Yeah.
Thank you. legacy, country heir to it all. Please drive my homegrown puppies I've got to see.
My brain, I'm in grief, I'm gone. what we're going to be, and what we have to be is free. God is understanding. God is understanding. God is understanding. God is understanding.
The Aura 3 with For Pete's Sake, written by Peter Tork of the Monkees. Before that, Deep Feeling with Country Air. This is DJ Frederick closing up the thrift shop for now, saying thank you for listening. Take good care of yourself, take good care of your community, and take good care of those you love.